Yes, so a lot already has happened this morning. I've prepared through the night, so you guys will have to listen to me. You don't have a choice. Serena, it's good to have you here as well. I want to just share four things with you, and then we can head off this morning. Four things that I really believe I've actually already started preparing a few weeks ago, and then Rainier got so excited that he wanted to preach, and that was amazing. We had Chris Ludewijk here last week, and so it's something that's on my heart for quite a while, but I believe we must just stand still a little bit and think through these things, and I guess we'll have to unpack them as the weeks go forward as well. This morning was actually so beautiful. All the testimonies and the cries and the breaking down before God is so precious for me because it's part of what I want to speak about this morning. So let's start, and I'm trying to think what I can filter this morning. Daniel chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. Let's start there this morning. Daniel chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. I want to speak about the disciplined ones. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men. Listen to this. Make a mark in your Bible if you have your Bible with you. Do you have Bibles? Yeah. Okay, you believe in the Bible? Okay, praise God. I'm glad to hear that. So take out a pen or a thing. If you don't mark in your Bible, make a mental note, because this is important. This is not just reading through words, yeah? This is powerful. Young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom. Oh, yes. Okay, and the girls, yeah. And the girls are excited. Young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve, and listen to this, ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies. This is amazing. Think in terms of if you would be in Buckingham Palace, what is the kind of delicacies that you will get there? Just the best, okay? It's not just tea, it's amazing stuff that goes with it. And I promise you, it would not just be shortcake, okay? it will be a lot of delicacies. So this is the environment that these men for 3 years were brought up for a day of reckoning before the king. Because the best of the best had to come as servants to the king. The daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them. 3 years, okay? I don't know how much you can teach guys in 3 years. It must be a lot if it comes to serving. So that at the end of that time, they might serve before the king. In verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart, listen to this man, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. As for these four young men, and I'm so glad you guys have mentioned this morning, just your battle with Nalita as well, because it takes discipline. It takes a lot of commitment to stand before God and to withhold the things that is not of God. He drank therefore the requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Verse 17, as for these four young men, God saved them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding, you can mark that, in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, which we know is the guys that went with Daniel into the fiery furnace as well. Therefore, they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them, listen to this, 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. 10 times. Not double, not amazingly a little bit better, you know. So my question to you is, are you 10 times better than anyone in your workplace? That sounds very ridiculous this morning, but I want to just... Sufiso, are you 10 times better than that guy that went to the interview yesterday? What if that... Oh, your stand. Clearly God knew what he was doing. Ed, you'll have to step it up, eh? Then it's 100% better. And God's grace would be with you. So the reason why I'm saying this morning, you know, God has brought us to a place where he's saying to us, listen, it's fine. The foundations has been laid. You guys have, broken down even the skew walls. The cracks in the foundations I've dealt with. But now I want to build. Are you ready to actually be disciplined enough to build this building according to my plans and purposes? And this is where we are at as a congregation, and this is where God is challenging us, being the disciplined ones, the ones that are willing to be 10 times better because of the glory of the King that will be shone through us. And I want to just say to you this morning, it's possible. It's possible to be at a place where we can actually experience the glory of the King shining through us to such an extent that He will be glorified, not us, but He will be glorified. And there's four things that I want to mention about these men of God that was committed to the cause at the time. Now, we know that disciples is called the disciplined ones, the followers of Christ. And Daniel was as disciplined and focused. The first thing is, he had a balanced diet. Now, I want to just say to you, I'll work at it. After the cycling, I'm struggling with it. But what I can tell you is, especially through the winter. Come on, guys, give me some grace. In these times, it's... okay, I can hear that there's a few nervous laughs. So I'm not the only one struggling through the cold. But what I can tell you, when it gets to a balanced diet, it is that we never get what we want, but what we need from God. And we had a conversation a few weeks ago, but what I can tell you is a balanced diet is the right combination of food that is necessary for you to fulfill the plan that God has for your life. And it's the right time, the right quantity, and for some of us it is difficult to get the diet straight. But what I can tell you, it's timely and it is of God, the right portions at the right time. So we don't always need what we desire. And desire makes us to sin if boundaries are not respected or honored. We need accountability sometimes in our lives to get to a place where we can prosper in God. And, I've seen it in my kids and I've mentioned it to you guys as well. You know, we had a conversation actually this week, me and Milani. She's always the one that gets it right with the kids' diets and to make sure that they eat the right stuff. And I'm the one that just lets it go. And it's always to the detriment because she reminded me a few years ago, my grandma that now passed away ever since, bless her soul. She at that time said to my wife, just leave the kids. Let them just eat those nice cheese curls, And Milani said, I know my kids. They're going to struggle tonight if they do. Sensitive tummies, okay. And that evening, Milani was the one sitting around the toilet with them, being noisiest. And my grandma was fast asleep, not worrying at all. So I've learned through the years, you know, there's a purpose in having a balanced diet. There's a purpose in getting the right food at the right time and to even restrain our appetites to actually get what we need and not what we desire. Because our desires will kill us if we leave it to take hold of us and to overpower us. Listen to 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is powerful of God. It depends on the glasses that you put on. Because if we look at, you know, what God is doing in our lives, it is foolishness. And yet it's so timely, it's so perfect when we can see it through His glasses. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 23 then, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. And I want to say to you, the cross is a stumbling block to many in the generation that we are living. The cross is the beginning and the end of people's lives. The cross can either be a stumbling block that will hinder you to ever get to life's purpose, and it can either bring you to the place where you decide on death, or it can bring you to a place of freedom, a place where you decide to look through the glasses of Christ. But it's so beautiful in verse 25, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So if God would have weakness, which is not possible at all, that would even be better than the best wisdom that we will see on this earth. And yet we must make a decision, first of all, to get a balanced diet in our lives where we will receive the goodness of God in our lives, because the decision is ours. We will have to decide, are we going to live according to His principles and truths? Are we going to embrace it and make it part of our lives? And so the Father wants to come into our lives and empower our destiny, but there's a few things that we must do. And first of all, we must clear our hearts by confessing our sins. We need to come to a place, and Rainier so beautifully did it the other day in bringing us back just to the, you know, the basics of, let's just talk about, you know, those things that hinder us to get closer to God. Those things that hinder us to actually fulfill His promise. So you've got an obligation to clean your heart first. Remember now, heart. Okay? Within heart, it means that you must confess the sins that is in your life. You want to get closer to God? You want to have that balanced diet? You must start to recognize that things are not as it's supposed to be with God. The second thing is, and I just want to, you know, just commend the guys this morning. What beautiful picture of guys willing to just be honest with God and before people, you know, truthful to what's happening in their lives. The second one is clear your spirit. You must make the decision to have a spirit that is influenced by the Holy Spirit, by God's Spirit, that is in total eclipse with God's Spirit. And the only way that you can do that is if we actually make sure that those wrong things in our lives get either cast out or addressed so that our spirits can be clean. And so this is also a good advert for Encounter 3. And the reason why I'm saying this, guys, is don't leave things in your lives and think you're going to address it later on. Make sure that you address them head on so that you can start to walk into the balanced diet that God wants, so that you can come closer to Him. The third thing about that part that we need to play is clear your vision. Seek healing of emotional wounds in your life. The only way that you and I can come closer to God is if we make sure that we clean our hearts, clean our spirit, and clean the vision. Because if we don't see what God is seeing, it's very difficult to actually get to a place where you can actually purposefully, you know, walk where He wants you to walk. And the only way that you will do that is to actually address those emotional things that you went through in your life and is still making you to struggle, still bring you to a place where you struggle to get to God. Now, the second thing that I want to mention is a position of strength. If we want to be disciplined ones, we need to always understand that the anointing upon our life, what that is and what is the limitations of the gifting that we have in our lives. Because if we don't understand what Chrissy said this morning about, I just have a little part to play, but I must make sure that I play that well, it will be very difficult to be part of the body, part of what God is busy establishing. But that position of strength is a place where you and I must first deal with a few things in order to go to war and to do great exploits for God. And there's so many Christians that are going to war and they've not dealt with the position of strength place. The place where they can actually first get to stand before God and be healed themselves. And so there's only one way that we will see where we are at in our lives. And I want to say to you guys, the self-awareness to know where you are even in your growth with Christ is so important, because you will never be able to even do what these guys has done this morning in being broken before God if you cannot admit who you are and who you are before Christ and where you are in your journey and in growth with Him. So I want to say to you, that position of strength is not one where you are perfect. That position of strength is not being confident in the abilities that you have. And I see many Christians that are so confident, you know, in serving Christ, but I know if you just scratch the surface, there's so much stuff that still needs to be dealt with so that they can get to that position of strength. Because that position of strength brings us to a place where we are actually so vulnerable toward God in admitting that we are nowhere. We've got nothing. And there's only a few Christians that I can see getting that right in their lives. The place where they know where they stand before God. And they allow God to do a thorough work. Now, the only way that you will know where you are at is when you go through testing. And we've discussed that a few weeks ago as well. But I want to just say to you, first of all, you don't commit yourself to something that you cannot sustain. So in our walk with Christ, in this journey of a position of strength, we must also know that, you know, I see many Christians, you know, committing themselves to great things for God, but they never complete them. Are you with me this morning? And, you know, it in my life, it cost me going back to certain areas where God spoke to me, even with my studies, to go back and to say, God, I didn't complete this assignment. And years later on, it cost me a lot to, in my family life, give up time and family time to go and sit and study things that I don't even need in the ministry. But I had to do it to complete the task that God has given me. And so I want to say to you, a position of strength is a place where you and I know that we commit ourselves to things that we know we can sustain and we can follow through and do out of God's strength. The second thing is you only commit if you have the ability to do it excellent. Let your yes be your yes and your no be your no. And so, in the meanwhile, practice the least. Make sure that you do whatever you can in the most simple things that you've committed yourself to. Make sure that you follow it through and be faithful in it. And then thirdly, if you move out of a position of strength, you can set the standard like Daniel. You can be a person that actually are not just surviving, but a person that sets the standard for others to follow in and to make the way to be an authority in what God wants to do in and around you. Now, I want to say to you, for a homeless guy, that means that you cannot lead another homeless guy in teaching him about finances. Okay? Unless you can have a bank account and you can make sure that you learn to actually manage your own finances. And I want to say to you exactly the same thing with Christians. You must learn to be a good steward in that which God has given you, to get to a place of strength so that God can release you to fulfill great exploits for Him. Gordon Dalby, and it's a beautiful book that I've read about him, Fight Like a Man. If you guys can read some of his books, it's really a blessing. He says, entering the hospital for healing prepares a man to enter the barracks of his destiny. Before we can actually get to war, we must learn to get to the hospital first, to get our healing with God. Listen to this. Your battle is often determined by your wound. The man that leaves the hospital will soon discover that the commander-in-chief is none other than the great physician. The one who heals is the one who deploys. And so, God has a desire for each one of us to be so self-aware in where we stand with God in our position of strength toward Him, that we can be honest about when we should actually go to the hospital. When we should actually go to the chief physician so that he can bring healing in our lives. In order for us to be prepared to go to war and to do great exploits for his kingdom. And so we need to be healthy enough in order to get to a place where we can actually get healing. And that place is a place called repentance, the place where you and I can actually admit that we are doing things wrong. And that we would come to a place where we can find the best surgeon to work in our healing process. And I want to say to you, none of us actually find the best specialist for the job, and then we say, job done. Okay, I've now found the specialist that can bring healing to my life, so I can now go on with my life. No, when you find that best specialist, you actually need to go to the operation table so that you can receive an operation to receive healing. And some of us always talk about this great physician, and we know that he is actually the one that can heal us, but we never allow him to actually come into our lives and to perform that operation. And I want to say to you, it's not shameful to come to the physician to be healed. It's actually a position of strength. It's a place where you and I position ourselves deliberately on the operation table so that we can receive our healing. Listen to this. The lie from the deceiver is that you need to be good and you need to be right, and therefore producing warriors who focus on the goal and not on the Father that empowers us. If we are impelled by humility, we will face our brokenness and surrender to the Father. That is a position of strength. And so false religion requires sacrifice rather than surrender. A position of strength is actually a position of surrender. A position of strength leads us to a place where you and I must decide, are we going to actually surrender to the King of Kings in such a way that He can come, start to operate in us? Because He's the one that will prepare us to be in that position of strength. And He knows best what is necessary in and through our lives so that we will be the perfect weapon that He can use against the enemy. But if we are not going to allow ourselves to be on the operation table, He will never be able to perform that miracle on us so that we can have life and start to actually perform the miracles that He wants us to perform. And I can tell you, the chief commander knows best who to deploy when and where, and when you are ready to do so. And the position of strength is a place where you and I know how to position ourselves toward the chief commander. Psalm 51 verse 16. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Again, something that Dalby said, and I want to just read it as well. We become kingdom warriors by trusting God's purposes. It doesn't matter how painful the immediate circumstances. The joy of being honored by the Father supersedes the fear of being wounded by the world. Until we can get to that place where we can actually be so excited to be exalted by Him and be honored by Him for being obedient and allowing Him to perform the miracles in our lives, we will never be able to overcome the world. So through the cross, God has said, I don't bail out on my sons, even when they are in death's grip. In fact, that's precisely where I shape them in warriors for my kingdom, which extends far beyond this present reality. Now, you know, Sunday morning Christians, people that have the American dream, or is it the UK dream, or whatever dream in their hearts, that if I've got a good job, I've got a wife, and I've got children that are healthy, I've got a nice car, then I am a blessed child of God, would always think that while they are in that position where things are going well in those areas, God is with them. But those who are committed to the cause of Christ will understand that there's a better way. A place where, you know, when things fall apart, your life with Christ does not fall apart. There's a place that I commit myself to and saying, God, never will I walk away from your promises in my life, because I know that you are faithful. And so that position brings us to a place where you and I can know that Christ made a very important decision not to walk away from His calling, when it was to the point where He had to say, God, why did you forsake me? You can't ride the war horse of New Jerusalem. I like this saying. You can't ride the war horse of New Jerusalem until you've not ridden the jackass into Old Jerusalem. Because it's a humbling experience to come into the city on a donkey, where the world actually don't think you are too fancy. It's humble experiences. It's a lot more nicer to go into the New Jerusalem with the war horse, where I can be an authority and I can proclaim the kingdom of God and I can do great exploits for Him. But there's a place that God prepares our hearts for what He wants to do. The Old Jerusalem is about religion and what we do for God. The New Jerusalem is about the relationship with the Father and what He does and what He does for us. And so, you know, the war horse is not for those who get down from the cross to play religion. It's not for those who follow the rules rather than the ruler. It's not for those who are anxious to be right, and though they forget to be real before God. It's not for those who are ashamed of their brokenness, that they don't trust the Father's healing grace. Not for those who struggle hardest to be good, but those confessing sincerely that they can't do good. And we are sitting here this morning, and I want to say to you, I'm again just so aware of the fact that a position where you and I find ourselves in strength is a place where Jesus showed servant leadership. The place where He was expected to be this Messiah that will rule the world in all authority, and yet He was willing to be obedient to the cause of God. The fact that He could actually lay down every sacrificial thing that was necessary so that God can be glorified and God's agenda can be fulfilled. And so my appeal to you this morning is, certainly there's areas in our lives and times in our lives, maybe I should rather say that, times in our lives when, you know, when God really exalts us and God allows us to walk in victory. But the places of, you know, riding the jackass is a place where God meets us and establish the kind of relationship that we need to go into the war zone. And so the jackass prepares, and listen to this, write it down if you're not going to remember this. The jackass prepares you for the war horse, and the war horse allows you to welcome the jackass. Okay, you're not getting it. Are you with me this morning? Yeah. Are you still awake? Because this is actually very powerful. The jackass prepares you for the war horse. And the war horse allows you to welcome the jackass. Because if you had gone through periods where God actually took you through a lot of humility and sacrifice and laying down your life, you will be able to actually appreciate the moments again where you will ask God, God, rather take me through the valley so that I can experience you more. Because those are the times when I'm so close to you, God, I don't want to be out of that place. A place of victory. And the enemy will take every shot that he can to come against us. Now, profanity in this area of a position of strength is a place where we waste the use of gifting on the wrong destiny. The place where we don't know what God has given us, and we are actually taking for granted the blessing that He has bestowed upon us to be faithful in the least. And Samson was such a man that didn't understand to be in a position of strength is actually to recognize that my weakness, you know, is something that I must bring before God and allow Him to bring healing so that I can use my strength to the glorification of God. That's all why we receive blessings in life. It's so that we can fulfill God's promises in our lives. Thirdly, pulling the reins is the place of meekness, the place of controlled strength. We know that any war horse that is not meek is actually useless. If you don't learn to come to pace yourself toward a position of strength, you will never be useful for the master to be used. Because you'll be only as strong as your last assignment. Are you with me this morning? Because I can tell you, Father God wants to have a conversation about, listen, can we just talk about the last time that we had deep conversations about your life and where we are heading? Because I want to actually... I want to bring you back to a place where you don't overrun the boundaries of the strength that I've given you. Overrun the vision that I've given you. A place of pulling reins means that you and I actually realize that we're not there yet. That we cannot go beyond where God is releasing us to go. A place where we cannot outrun our resources, our backup. The people that we need in our lives to fulfill certain things. And maybe you are sitting in the workplace today and I want to say to you, maybe you are outrunning your resources here. You know, where you've trusted God for big things and you are doing some great things for God, but you've run so quickly that you forgot about God in your life. That you've been so focused on where God is taking you that you forget where God is in this journey. Because He's much more interested in this journey than He's at the end destination. And pulling in the reins means that sometimes we must even with our fellow Christians, as we disciple them, just rein them back. Say, listen, stop, because you're going to kill yourself. You're going to die in this war if you run at this pace. Because reining in means that you and I must be honest with ourselves in where God's provision is not yet. We must actually pull back and say, listen, God, I want to be exactly where you are at. I want to take it one step at a time and I want to be patient enough to actually get there. And I can tell you, many a times in my life I've been confronted with this where I just want to run because I am a war horse, always just wanting to run. And then God brings in the reins and He says to me, slow down, slow down. This is not where I'm at yet. Yes, I'm heading that way. But you are now outrunning your resources. You are outrunning your backup. You are outrunning your ability to deliver. And if you run beyond the vision that God has given you, you will burn out. Patience and perseverance brings meekness. And you cannot give people what you haven't got, but you can get it from the Father. Okay, can I say that again? You cannot give, and we many times say this to one another, that you cannot give to other people what you don't receive from God. But I want to add this and say, but you can get it from the Father. If you are willing to first go and push into a relationship with Him where He can reveal Himself to you and actually start to rise up within you, and you will have the strength to actually bring solutions to the table. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3 to 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our affliction, so that, just underline that, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. And I want to say to you, God wants to sometimes draw in the reins for us and even for the people around us in order to be a blessing to people around us. Ephesians 2 verse 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So, reigning in also means that we can't deep end people around us. That we must learn how to help people to swim. That even in the discipleship process, we need to commit ourselves to walk the road with one another in such a way that we can actually see the growth in other people around us and to help them not to sink. It's easy to show people where they are wrong. It's a lot more difficult and skillful to actually help people to get it right. Are you with me this morning? It's very easy, and I often see this in the church. People have a lot to say about other people's growth. They've got a lot to say about where people are at in their spiritual growth. And that's easy. I can tell you, even tell you what I'm doing wrong at this stage. That's not a skill. The real skill lies within to bring solutions to the table, to help people, to support them, to know that when they are outrunning their reins, that we can help them to be the strongest people that they can be so that they can swim, that we don't deep end them. And the blessing of that is that that God wants us to be prepared so that we can be strong, a position of strength. Soldiers must be timed to enter into battle. You don't always need supernatural knowledge to discern the Father's call. You just need humility. You will know, and He will open your eyes to recognize the battle as He prepares it for you. There's a time in your life when you realize, okay, God is releasing me now, and He's giving me the open doors to run, to do great exploits for Him. But we must rein ourselves until we get to that point. But I promise you, you will know when God does that. In the meanwhile, just restrain yourself so that you stay in that place where you learn from Him. Strengthen yourself. Bring yourself to a place of strength. Destiny is, however, shaped in relationship with Him. The only difference between your desert and the battlefield is Jesus. The only difference between where you and I only struggle and, don't see breakthrough, and a place where we walk in authority is Jesus. Not what we can do. There's nothing that we can do to get out of that hole. It's only Jesus. It's only a relationship with Jesus where He leads us to a place of victory. And so the last one is a tight ship. We see the picture of Babylon, and Babylon, is a place where that is in the history, known for being very successful and getting people's minds to all focus together to build something so high that they could reach the heavens. And then God actually brings a lot of confusion through different languages. But while they were putting their heads together, the Bible says they could amount to anything that they put their minds to. because of the unity among them. And so I want to say to you this morning, tightship for you and I mean in this walk, even as Daniel is so successful in getting all the way to through the lion's den and the fiery furnace, he's got a few friends with him. And it's a core group of key individuals that God puts together so that if they can put their minds together and they can stand in faith, they can actually influence the whole of this empire. Nebuchadnezzar would not even be able to come against him. That even in the lion's den, Nebuchadnezzar would say, listen, I didn't think you would go through this and be alive. And yet your God has protected you. A place where we can see the amazing unity that God can use as a blessing. Exodus 14, verse 13 to 14. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for us today. For the Egyptians whom you see today shall never see, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. Now I want to say to you, the place of silence is the place where you and I need to bow our heads and to hear what the king and the commander of the army say. Because before we can get through the Red Sea, and the enemy is at our back, the biggest choice that we must make, first of all, is to turn up our backs to our enemies. And to make a conscious decision to say, listen, there's no ways that I can turn back and that I will be influenced and intimidated by my enemies. But I can only focus on God's victory and God's solution to my life. I need God. God, we need you. Is there any solution to us surviving this ordeal? And yet God always gives the outcome because he's willing to. He's so able and he's also so committed to do so. If we are just willing to. And you know, I was blessed the other day. I went to that Global Leadership Summit. And for me, one of the blessings of it was actually one of the guys saying, make sure to, when you walk in faith, always burn the ships. That you always, all the alternatives that you have to turn around and to run away, that you burn them so that there's no choice for you to turn back, but to only trust God to move forward, to move in faith. And I want to say to you, tightship means that you and I need to make a decision to say that God, only your way, only your faith, only the things that you are giving us. We will stand together and fulfill those things, and we will see you coming through for us. And that's a conscious decision that you need to make. Exodus 14, verse 15 to 16. The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. To go forward, lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. Put one foot in front of the other and go forward. The place of tightship is where you and I need to make a decision and say, God, I'm going to do it one step at a time. I don't see 100 steps further, but the one thing that I know is you say I must put my foot down, I will do that. If you're Peter, God says to you, listen, I know that you've thrown that net the whole night, but when I say throw out the net, it looks different. So I want to say to you this morning, you know, it's strange how negative we become around God when we step out in a tightship situation. When things are really going difficult, and we always have these alternatives, and we always have our own plans, and yet God is saying, just take it one step at a time, hear from me, and fulfill the promise that I've given you. And God will be able to fulfill his promise. He does not expect natural human beings to do anything supernatural. God does the job, but through his people. And so they didn't know where to go. They didn't even have the energy to go, but they can turn back, to put their back to the enemy and trust God and start walking. You know, the same Israelites had a walk with God through the desert, and they came to the promised land. And just before they came to the promised land, there was also obstacles. There was also a decision, a place of decision making that they had to fulfill. And that was at the river, the Jordan River, Joshua 3, verse 14 to 16. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with a priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priest bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of water. Now the Jordan overflows all its bank throughout the time of the harvest. It was the time of the harvest. Says the water coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those flowing down toward the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, were completely cut off, and the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now this time around, it's expected a little bit more of obedience from their side. And I want to say to you, tight ship for you and I in serving God means that we need to grow in our faith, because the assignment will ask more obedience of us the more we grow in our faith. Because even the best soldier would be needed for great assignments. And the greatest reward will be given to great faith. But I can tell you, you and I need to grow in our faith in order for the master and the commander of the armies to use us in great assignments. And so this time around, God is saying to the Israelites, listen, things have changed. When we were at the Red Sea, you know, I gave you everything. And after that, I fed you every day, and I've led you by the fiery pillar. But now that we get to the Jordan, your faith must stretch to a place where you can actually be perfectly obedient to me. Because when we go into the promised land, we're going to go around Jericho, and you're going to have the strangest of warfare. Because it's not going to be the kind of warfare that you guys are used to. But when we get into the promised land, it's going to cost of you to do exactly as I say. This time around, it's not just lifting a stick. You must actually take the priest, and you must step out and make sure that you take the first step of obedience in order for me to perform the faith miracle. And I want to say to you, you know, when we reach that place, God's saying to us, listen, it's fine to still want, you know, the things that you desired in the desert. And I'm always up to teaching you great things in the desert. But the desert is only to prepare you for when we go into the promised land. You must be strong. You must be disciplined. You must fulfill the things that I've taught you in the desert. Because great warriors get established in the desert. And yes, the desert exposes you, and the desert makes you to be impatient, and the desert makes you to feel vulnerable. But you know what? That's the place where I fought you as a weapon of warfare that will have victory in the land that I promised to you. And so I want to say to you guys, the disciplined ones are the ones who understand that a tight ship means that, God, I don't want to miss you. And it's not as if God withholds information from us, or God is deliberate in making life difficult for us, and He wants us to always just get it right, you know, when it comes to obedience. And no, you know, because it's, and you've heard it, it's not about what you do, it's about what's in your heart. It's that place of sacrifice that we so often fall trap to, where we always want to do more stuff now. We want to actually commit ourselves to do greater things for the kingdom. We're going to be more committed and do more ministries in the church, and we want to actually just sign up for another thing in the church, because that's, you know, when you focus. And that's not what I'm talking about. If that is what you hear this morning, we're missing one another. A tight ship means that whatever you do and God commanded you to do it well.
Do it out of a place of obedience because you love the Master and He's commanded you to do it. And because He has said you must do it, you see the victory, you see the breakthrough. But it's a heart's thing that must happen. It's not a sacrificial thing. So I see a lot of times Christians missing the point when it gets to being disciplined in God. We want to do stuff. We want to be more committed. This is a place of focus. This is a place of God. When we get to Jericho, there's not going to be blood spill. There's not going to be difficulty, because we're going to do just what you say and we're going to see the result. It's actually easier. It's a place of rest. It's a place of victory in God. And so, you can't part an ocean or a river, but when God says He'll do it, you can trust Him and put your foot in the water. But you must put your foot in the water. You must be able to put that first step out so that God can meet you at the place of miracle living. I'm almost finished, Chrissy, so don't yawn. That's fine. You'll survive. Don't worry. You'll survive. Don't worry. Now I know you're listening. Philippians 2 verse 6. And I'm ending off here, so please stand strong. I'm going to give you a few nuggets still. Philippians 2 verse 6 to 9. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. I know this is well-known scriptures, guys. Don't take this lightly. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Jesus deserves to have the name above all other names. He did not jump from the desert or even from the Red Sea into the Promised Land. He went through all of it. He was willing to, in obedience, walk all the way with God so that God can exalt him to be a faithful son. I want to say to you, this journey that all of us are on, and I'm not excluding anyone, I'm saying to you, God is challenging me as He's challenging you at this stage. The place of being a disciplined one for God takes a lot of sacrifice, even though sacrifice is not the focus. I can tell you, sacrifice happens because of obedience. Because in our hearts we've committed. Then you do it because you want to do it. You do it because, you know, it's just beautiful to see these days. Juan became the Bible school administrator, you know, and I'm just so surprised by the giftings that this man has, you know, in just fulfilling this task. But I can see he's excited about it. He's doing it with such a zeal because he knows it's a place of obedience. But you know what? That same thing can become such a burden if it's not out of a place of obedience with God. Disciplined ones can become a burden and a curse upon your life if it's not in the right place. If it's not out of a place where you have a loving Father having loving conversations with you in the desert so that you know that you are shaped and formed by His will. You want to go back to the desert if that means you are getting closer to God. So I can tell you, a man that wants to fulfill destiny must crucify his rebellious nature and surrender to the Father's will and die to be resurrected in His image. Those at Calvary mocked Jesus to save himself. Jesus chose to overrule his natural impulse. Listen to this. Jesus chose to overrule his natural impulse and chose not to save himself, but trust God and surrender to his purposes to save all. Let's stand quickly. My trust this morning is that I know there's a lot said, and I'm trusting God to come and stir within you a process. Not, I do realize this is too far-fetched for what we can comprehend at this stage. But one thing that I do know is God wants us to get it right. In conclusion, I want to say we can't be lone rangers. Let's just quickly go to that last clip. Nige, is it possible? There you are. And I'm ending off with these five things. We can't be lone rangers in God's kingdom, but selfless soldiers following the chief commander. We need to remove the roadblocks in order for the Father to be clear to us. Clear your heart. Confess the sin in your life. Clear your spirit. Identify and cast demons out. Clear your vision. Seek healing of emotional wounds. Thirdly, do not move unless out of a position of strength. And that strength is a place of surrender. Soldiers are best when they have been prepared in hospital before they enter into battle. And lastly, God is indeed prepared to fight for His people. All He expects is of them to be silent first. And, you know, I would hope that we are excited about what God is doing. And I can see that, you know, for all of us, there's breakthroughs and there's amazing things that God is doing. But that we will remind ourselves to be at that place of silence. That place where we never act out of presumption. Out of a place where we think we are following God. And yet, we actually commit the biggest sin of profanity of all times. When we are like Samson, just running like a headless chicken, doing all kinds of exploits that we think is the right things. And yet we miss God in all of them. Father, we come to you this morning. In the name of Jesus. Father, our desire is to not miss one moment in the hospital with the great physician. But Father, actually to enjoy it for the sake of coming closer to you and hearing your heart. And Father, we ask you this morning that even in the midst of our circumstances, that you would, Father God, give us those breakthroughs, those amazing plans and purposes that you have for us. But Father, not at the cost of coming closer to you. Father, we want to experience you more. We want to ask you, Father, that the spiritual climate will rise, will allow us to hear you more, experience you more, to want you more, Father God, at a place where, Father, you will truly be the focus of our lives. Father, we ask you that you will come and cleanse us this morning. I want to ask you, Father God, that nothing will stand between us and you. You will clear our vision. That all, Father God, emotional hurts of the past will be dealt with. That, Father, you will come and just heal our hearts. Father, where we can commit ourselves to actually just confess the sin and the stuff that is standing between us and you. Father, where we can even get to a place where we will receive, Father God, a place of wholeness with you in our spirit again. A place, Father God, where you can deliver us of every filthy thing that wants to control our lives. Every stronghold, Father God, that hinders us to see you clearly and to experience you in a free way. In the name of Jesus. And we commit, Father God, ourselves this morning to a place, Father God, of being disciplined ones. The ones that will, like Daniel, be 10 times better than anyone that serves in this community. Not because of ourselves and our reputation, but because your glory will come. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to end off this morning I know these days it's so nice to, because we're small, we can actually do it still, to just turn to one another in prayerful consideration of what God is saying to us. And to be clear, you know, with one another even, that self-conscious understanding of our growth curve in Christ. And just commit it this morning to God and say, God, we want to be at that place. And clearly, we're not there perfectly, but we're willing. You know, and it's God is not expecting you to, not none of us, you know. God will not keep us accountable to the great goals and great and amazing stuff that we're doing for Him. That's not God's heart. But He will keep us accountable to our brokenness before Him, which is a deliberate choice from our side to say, God, I'm still falling short. I don't want to. I want to be at the place. That's where God can meet us. And that's what I want to ask you this morning. Let's just turn to one another and be honest with one another about where we are at and pray for one another, okay? To build one another up. Amen. Thank you so much.